It's time now for the Wednesday Morning Coffee Club. Welcome to the Wednesday Morning Coffee Club with Bill and Jenny Sparks, Dave and Chris Rieckert, Tim Ani, and the crew. Bill will be taking your phone calls, and you will hear lots of conversation. We will have cooking tips, demonstrations of products, and much, much more.
And you may reach us by calling 1-646-558-8656. You will need the meeting ID 848-725-450. And when you're asked for a user ID, just press pound. You may download Zoom from the Play Store or the App Store.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, Bill Sparks.
Well, a very good morning from Southwest Florida. Very humid and balmy Southwest Florida this morning. Jeff's going to throw a shoe at me or something or a book for singing anything like that. But it is nice and warm. And yesterday I experienced my first heavy rain here in Florida when I was out and about. And we'll talk more about that later. I don't know that you want to hear all about that, but I got soaked in the rain, but it was nice standing out there in my short sleeves waiting on a Uber or Lyft. And what can I say? And we're going to go around and let everybody talk briefly or quickly, and then we'll get to everybody, and then we'll introduce somebody new. And we've got a lot of news this morning. So without further ado, let's go to Albany, New York. Jeff, how are you?
I'm doing well. We've got snow on the way, but I'm not complaining because it's all uphill from here. The spring will be here. Maybe it'll be a little early as the groundhog saw his shadow. We never know.
All right. Let's send it to Jenny in the other room.
Oh, good morning. It's nice today. Because of all the rain we had yesterday, it's decreased our fire risk now, which is a good thing because we had so many dry days without a lot of humidity. The fire risk was higher, so the rain will help that.
Well, that's good. Michael Off in Evansville, Indiana.
Oh, doing well. I found some new podcasts, and that always makes me feel good. But
We're going to be talking about those. I'm going to tell you what a change I've made on podcast here too in just a little bit, because we really need to share those good resources. Dave and Chris in Altoona.
Well, we're doing well. It's a little chilly here today, but
no snow.
No snow. That's a good thing.
No snow. I can say that too, I think, with a pretty much of assurance. Let's go to Minneapolis, Minnesota, the home of Tim Ani, the world famous Tim Ani.
Well, I don't know about that, but well, it's we got about 3 inches of snow last night, and hopefully we're done for the month of February. We're supposed to get 4 inches of snow in March, though, on Friday.
No, thank you. I think I'll just stay right here. Thank you very much. Let's see. Am I missing anybody on the per se panel? I don't think so. Well, we'll get to Bill in Chicago. We'll get to Joe and Ellen in Albuquerque. But I'd like to welcome a new caller from area code 319. And I believe her name is Julie. Julie, welcome to the Coffee Club.
Thank you. And the 319 is the Iowa area code from where we came from.
Right. I knew you were trying to hide and all that good stuff. But no, I'm just kidding. I know that. So how did you find us, Julie? Why would you take the time to call in? We're so glad you did, of course. But how did you find us here on the Coffee Club?
A woman at our Topeka Association for the Blind had talked about Legend Oldies. And so I found it, but I wasn't able to play it with anything on my iPhone. And then I had been using an app that no longer works with my iPhone. And then I found the Simple Radio app and was able to get it and hear it. And this woman had mentioned the coffee club, and I kept trying to get it, but I was apparently always too late in the mornings. And then finally I got up early enough and found it and liked it and thought, I'll never remember all those numbers to call in. And then last night I was in a meeting that had been, you know, publicized, and it wanted to download Zoom, so I did, and then I was able to dial it automatically.
Well, there you go. Number one, we're glad you're here. Number two, in just a few short weeks, we're going to be fixing something on the Legend that any iPhone, you will be able to listen to the Legend, whether you use Simple Radio, whether you use TuneIn, whatever you use, you will be able to listen to the Legend on your iPhone without a problem.
Good.
You know, to be an issue to type those in there. We're working on something to even simplify that. But the main thing is, we're so glad you're here and you've joined us, and we'll be getting back to you. We got to get a little tech news out of the way, but we will be getting back to you if you want to hang around, because you're going to be talking to us about some interesting podcasts and all kinds of good stuff. I found a tutorial, a very well-written tutorial guide to using the browser called Chrome, you know, because Internet Explorer is getting worse and worse and worse, and they don't really recommend you use it. Even Microsoft doesn't. So if you ever want to get started with Chrome, this is something you can do. And if anybody would like that, I can either post that link to the mailing list. We can do it that way, or you can write me directly at bill@billsparks.org, and we'll make sure you get a link so that you can take advantage of this tutorial written by a gentleman by the name of David Moore. He does audio and text tutorials, and I think they're really, really great and makes it simple so you can understand it. So I fully commend him on that. So if you're interested in, you know, wanting to take the plunge and know that Internet Explorer's time has come and gone, and you're going to have to really start making a change because they're going to take it away from you. One other piece of news, Michael, maybe you know about this one. Freedom Scientific came out with a new handheld, well, what do you call it, Jeff? A handheld scanner?
I guess it's a small, compact handheld scanner. It does have a screen. It's called the Omni, and it's going to be repriced at $2,500. Kind of updates, you know, they had a thing that I paid $2,699 for called the Sarah, which is a big full-size scanner reading machine. This is going to be smaller. It's about 3 pounds, runs on batteries, probably runs on AC as well, and you can carry it around with you. That's what makes this particular device so appealing. But at $2,500, it may be out of the reach of many people who are visually impaired who may not be able to afford it, but it's there if you want to buy it.
Well, last night I attended the NFB Newsline Mobile. That was a tutorial on making better use of the iPhone app, and they talked about the version 3.0 of NFB Newsline. We'll have a basic version of the KNFB reader built into it, so that you'll be able to at least scan a page, take a picture of a page, and have that read, and a little bit of storage capabilities. Not the full KNFB reader, but it will be free, and that'll be a part of the NFB Newsline Mobile 3.0 coming out at some point later this year.
Okay, Michael, I'm going to play devil's advocate here. Why would I want to buy KNFB Reader 3.0 when I've got things like Envision, where you pay slightly for, or
Seeing AI.
Well, I don't know. I mean, that's there. Like I said, I don't really use KNFB Reader that much because, like you, I find other things that do a little better job at OCR. So I'm just mentioning that as something else that's free when you're talking about $2,500 versus something that you don't pay for.
But remember, that market is designed for people who are not going to use an iPhone. They're just not going to. So this to them is a lifeline, you know. Put your piece of paper down and scan it.
This also actually makes their open book software outmoded in many ways, I think. If you can take things with you, I mean, you can't take open book with you unless you have to take your computer with you. I mean, this obviously it could be a somewhat replacement for open book. And I don't know about it, Bill, but as long as you can save your files, that save your documents that you're reading and import them into Word, or you can, take them and import them as text files and save them. That would be a nice feature of this particular product.
What about you, Jenny? You are a big open book user.
Well, they haven't updated it for a long time, so that there's going to be, I hope this does work out to be something easy for people to use, because I think it is going to go away eventually. They haven't updated it for a long time.
Is this scanning software something that you could foresee that you could use going forward, because it does have USB ports on it, as I remember, and it's something you could plug into a laptop or whatever and do your scanning or your...
It's a good possibility.
It's something that you could possibly use. I mean, the price tag, granted it is a little high, maybe, and it is also visual, so it does have that screen on it. So, they've made it that way, and, it runs on battery, so it's very mobile.
But all it does is OCR.
All it does is OCR, and you got 12 different languages or something like that. So,
and a bunch of nuanced voices.
Yeah, it does have a lot of voices. So,
I think it would be a good thing for a lot of people, and I could see myself using something like that, because I still need to scan with something better than my phone. I mean, your phone is good for quick stuff if you just want to know what it is, but if you really want to manipulate anything or import it to something else, I still like to use my computer to do it.
I know. I was in a situation. I went to the pharmacy last Saturday, come home, and I got my medicine from the drugstore. That was an adventure in itself. I had both Lyft drivers got lost going and coming home, but that's another thing. But I opened up my medicine that night, and the pills didn't look the thing. I thought, did they mix this up with another of my medications? So I pulled out my phone, and it really couldn't read it all that well, the prescription bottle. So I ended up calling Ira, and they told me within a few seconds. But I don't know of a scanning software. I know they were talking about the group that does the prescription.
Envision
was talking about doing something that, you could scan the bottles. Of course, they would have to have their labels on it or whatever, their software. But Iris saved me right there. It just took me, just a few seconds, and they told me what that was. And then there was no problem, but it was better. And I apologized to the guy for bothering me. He said, no, it's no bother. We would rather you call than take the wrong medicine. So that was a way around it. And Michael, do you find scanning on your iPhone as satisfactory as what Jennifer would, the Omni or something like that?
I think you stepped away. But I can tell you, Bill, as good as the iPhone is, and you can scan a lot of things on the iPhone, if you have a flatbed scanner, I think Jennifer would probably agree with this one, it's still in many ways superior than just using the iPhone. Yeah, you can, and it will work, and like KNFB Read will take a photo, and TextGrabber will do the same thing and read the document, and Envision will do the same thing. A scanner is very, very accurate. It's a little slower maybe than that, but it does work.
Well, I just find, and maybe it's just me, I just find I have a hard time getting the camera in just the right position so that it takes a good picture of the page so it reads it very well. I mean, I guess I could practice or buy a stand or something, but I mean, that's why I still end up running over to the computer and putting it on the scanner to do it. Because yesterday I was looking for something that I would have never found with the phone, and after a couple scans, I found what I was looking for.
So that's why I kind of agree with you, Jennifer, because that's why I use the standalone reading machine. The only problem with mine is that you can't take the stuff easily and put it on your hard drive or save it easily off that machine. It can be done, but that, it's not quite the same. Bill, I see that you have your hand raised.
Bill, you're talking about You thought they gave you the wrong pills. I don't know what pharmacy you use, but here I use Walgreens all the time. And the people here I've known for a long time, and any Walgreens I can go to, if they change the brand of the pill or change the shape of the pill, they're by law, by Walgreens at least, they have to tell you they changed the purveyor or the pill is shaped different.
Well, I can tell
you. Whether you can see or not see, they have to tell you.
Right. Well, I can tell you it was Walgreens, and no, they did not tell me.
Oh, then that you need to report that to somebody, because they're supposed to tell you when they change the brand name or, you know, if they go to a different brand.
But, Bill, is that a local, is that a federal law? Is that might be
just state law? I have no idea. All I know is the people I go to, they say it's a Walgreens law. That's all I know. Because whenever they change the pills, I mean, I can pick up a pill and they say, oh, now these aren't the rounds anymore. They're sort of a, you know, maybe octagon or a capsule or, you know, they'll tell you what they are, you know. Even if they change the color, if it's a capsule and you can see or can't see, if it's, say, it's been a white and blue capsule, and for some reason they change it and it goes to a red and green, they'll tell you it's a red and green capsule now.
Well, I can tell you, they clearly did not tell me. So that's why I had to go to the extra measures like I did.
Right. I understand that, too. Yeah, but it's good we got those measures and go to, because otherwise you'd have to walk all the way back to the drugstore to find out.
Right.
Find somebody to read it for you somewhere. Right.
It would not have been a good thing. But fortunately, the story had a good ending.
Right.
Anyone else with any other news?
I don't know if you really call it news, but there's something I've noticed in the last couple of days. I've been getting links to various recipes on my iPhone from the Lady A app.
Yeah, I've been getting those too, and I don't know what I did or what caused that to happen. But every night about midnight, I get different recipes. I know there was one for donuts, one for whatever.
Pizza crust, yeah.
Yeah. Maybe they're trying to tell you something, Bill.
Yeah, really?
You need to learn to cook better or something.
All right. We got Julie. Yeah. Julie's got a raised hand. Go ahead, Julie.
Yes. My roommate just said that Walgreens puts on the side of the bottle. Or Walmart. Oh, Walmart. Okay.
Okay, Walmart.
Puts on the side of the bottles if they've changed the color or the shape. But that wouldn't help you, even if Walgreens chose to do it that way.
That
wouldn't help you. They should have told you.
Yeah, it was clearly clearly a situation where, you know, it should have been done. Fortunately, I had a way around it, but I'm asking you guys, what would you have done in that particular situation if you had been concerned? It was, to be honest with you, these were, I don't know if you call them sleeping pills, sleep aids, or, you know, something that I've been taking for years and years and years and years called Zopenin. And what would you have done if you had not known what that medicine was and you had nobody there to help you know what it was?
Well, I think I'd have been very thankful that there was Ira or something you could call. Now, Ira can be costly. I don't know if there is a way that some of it is free or not, but Ira can be pretty costly. But I probably would have gone to the Be My Eyes app and had them help me with it if I didn't have anybody around. But it's wonderful that we have those kinds of things. Now, does Rx Talk or anything work? Does Walgreens support that, the talking pill bottle?
Yes, they do.
They do, but they don't like to use it.
Why?
I've never been to I don't know why. I've been there, and Jenny, you've experienced this too, where they might want to fill one prescription, but some of us, God knows, we get a little bit older, we have more than one prescription. And they don't want to fill all of those prescriptions on a monthly basis. They don't offer it. They don't promote it. I know they've got those caps they put on, and then those little things that go on the bottom and then they fall off. And
well, and they don't want you to bring your old bottle back, so they would put it in the bottle so you didn't have to put a new cap on it. So, because they say they're not allowed to do that. So
yeah, maybe you should go to CVS, which does support that, I believe. If you have one, that's the only thing I could say. I know they do promote that. It's the CVS has been a big proponent of this technology.
Well, also, they probably do not want to take the time to do the recording, but if they could use it, they have to help them.
That's the whole thing, is it's the time. They just don't want to take time to do it.
In my opinion, I believe that you should, as much as possible, and sometimes it's not convenient to, but if you don't want to do mail order, then you ought to support the stores. For example, I know Walmart does, or a lot of the Walmarts do, where you can go in and they will use the Envision software and you don't have to, you know, you can pick up your medicine. And then you wouldn't have an issue, you know, like we had last week.
I thought I saw a special tool to read it.
Yeah. Yeah, they give you a little device to read it, and it does read. So
I thought I saw Joe and Ellen. One of you guys raise your hands.
Yeah, that was me. It was Ellen. You hear me?
Go ahead.
Okay. I would have done if I had that problem. I would have just called Walgreens and asked them about it, simply because that, you know, I figure, well, okay, they're making their, you know, there's a mistake on their end. Let's find out what happened and how it can be fixed.
Problem is, it's 10 o'clock at night or 10:30, and Walgreens closes at 9 o'clock.
Well, what you do, I mean, this is what I would have. I would have waited till it opened the next morning, simply because I don't have any other way of finding out, you know, that late at night. So,
but if you're using that medicine to go to sleep, that kind of defeats
that. I just wouldn't take it.
Or you could trust that they did it right and that they just changed the capsules and take one.
Yeah, you could do that. And in the morning when they open up, then call and ask them about it.
Julie, okay. You raise your hand.
Go ahead, Julie.
Yes, I would definitely, the next time you go in there, remind them that when people can't see and don't have anyone in their household who can help them, they need to make sure and inform people when they change bottles and or when they change shapes and companies and things like that, that they and they need to tell their seniors. It's just something that needs to be pointed out so that people are aware of it.
Actually, they need to tell anybody who, when they pick up a prescription, even a young sighted person, they need to say to them, hey, the pills have changed, so it may not look like you're used to.
Well, yeah, I can tell you, when my daughter picks my medicine up and they've changed the shape, or say the doctor has changed the dosage, before she even gets the thing from the pharmacist at the Walgreens we go to, it's about four of them, they tell her, oh, this is what we've done now, and she can see to read the bottle, and they'll say, no, this is what we've done. The doctor's changed your prescription from 5 milligrams to 10 milligrams, and blah, 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 and the pills are the same shape or they're different shape. Now, either it's the Walgreens where you go, Bill, just too lazy to do it, or they're not taught properly.
And make sure you...
Of course, I go to a 24-hour Walgreens, all mine are, so, I mean, they work all night long, so...
Mike, you had a different solution. Didn't you have a different solution, Mike? I remember you told me something about them making special labels for you or something. Can you tell us about that?
No, they're not special for me. First, I was going to say, when you do that, Bill, make sure you speak to the manager so that relays down to all of the staff. But now my particular pharmacy gives me like a printed label that actually has the med and the price that I paid for it. It's like a receipt, but it's actually a, you know, like a printout label. And so I just read that with the scanner. And so that's nothing they've done. But I have called the pharmacy back and said, I'm concerned about these pills. They don't look right. And they told me, I think I've done that both with CVS and my current local pharmacy, that, yeah, they've changed the shape of the pill. So
but I
look at them right away. I'm just.
Yeah. I'm going to go back to the common denominator. There's a lot of people who do not use iPhones, who do not particularly have scanners. You know, most people do now.
Then I would check them in the store. I'd just sit there and...
Yeah, I think that's probably what I would do, is go right there in the store and do whatever the case may be, because people don't have, you know, it's kind of like, you know, Michael, when we create the websites, we try to make it assume that somebody doesn't know something
And part of it is you have a rapport with your pharmacy. If you've been going to the same pharmacy, the pharmacists kind of know you, and they probably would tell you, Possibly.
Well, that, yes, some do, and that makes an argument for choosing one pharmacy and sticking with it. And
Mike, what about a question that I have? Is it better, do you think, for you, using a local pharmacy? Your pharmacy is not like CVS or Walgreens or the other one. Or is it better to use just a local pharmacy or a chain pharmacy?
It's better. I do know all the people at my local pharmacy, but you can have a chain pharmacy and still learn, you know, get to know the local reps, assuming that they stay there, the pharmacists and so forth, and the technicians. So it's worked for me to find a local one, but, you know, it's not – I can't say that that's the end-all, be-all. I mean, sometimes there's discounts by going with a chain or franchise.
One of the things I was asked when I renewed my blood pressure medication at Rite Aid, well, now it's Walgreens, I'm sorry. She said to me, would you like me to give you a different cap rather than the safety cap? I said, no, I can handle the safety cap. But that's another thing. If you're visually impaired or if you're older and you can't handle, you know, some of these safety caps are very difficult to open.
You know, whatever the case you may do or not do.
There's a bigger issue, and that's there is a lot of errors in medication. I was once given two bottles of the same thing, and so I was taking twice the medicine that I should have. So instead of two different prescriptions, they were giving me two of the same thing, and they looked the same. And a lot of people have fatal consequences, and people have been known to die just from medication errors. So I would check, and, you know, I have no problem looking at right there, pulling a little staple out and looking in there and feeling the pill and say, hey, this doesn't look right. What's going on?
Yeah. And be happy it was the right medication, even if they gave you two bottles of it. What happens? I had a friend of mine who got mail order prescription and they sent her the wrong medication. It was heart medicine and she didn't need heart medicine. So that's another thing that could happen. So you really have to be on your toes when you're doing this stuff.
Well, and then you've got multiple, you know, if you're taking multiple medicines and trying to keep it straight, and some on full stomach, some on empty stomach, different times of the day, you know, so there's a lot of stuff. It really concerns me because I've seen this happen, and it'd be easy, even of sound mind, to get things confused. But imagine if you're taking the meds and they're clouding your judgment. And I don't know. I'm very concerned about medication errors for a number of reasons.
Well, you know, I'm very concerned, or they give it to you in a rush. And some pharmacists will say, do you have any questions? Or they'll just hand it to you because there's a line of people behind you. You know, that's another concern. I hear
someone's touch toning.
Yeah. But yeah, you know, it happens. All I'm saying is be mindful. Julie's suggestion was, if you don't have IRA, try Be My Eyes. That's better than nothing. In some cases it works, you know, pretty well. And fortunately, you can go as cheap as $30 a month for it. Okay, speaking of Julie is back. Go, Julie.
The right thing.
Go ahead, Julie. I unmuted you. Go ahead, Julie.
Anyway, if you have, maybe if you have a pen friend or some similar device, you could take it and delete as many labels as you need and just have them do that for you while they're giving you your medicine. I realize that's hard when they've got a line of people, but they might be able to find someone who could do the directions for you.
And I'll do that when I get home and just have my own bottles and just put it in a bottle that's the same, but I've already had a Braille label on. I realize they can't do it for legal reasons.
Right.
I don't think we're ever going to fully answer these questions about medicine, Julie, because I think we're always going to have some problems. And as we get older, it's going to be worse if we're not really keeping up to date with it or being aware of it. And as you age, maybe your memory is bad. I mean, there are people I know who have gone senile and that took medication twice, three times when they're only supposed to take it once a day and stuff like that. Yep. So it's really an issue that as we age in our society, and we are aging, we're going to have to keep more and more in touch with it.
Well, I'll give you the example. I'm not picking on Walgreens today or anybody, but all right. Ira says they have an arrangement with Walgreens. So I said, okay. When you walk in the Walgreens store, you become in what is a free zone. Or in other words, you can call Ira and it's free. They'll help you with anything in the store. So I put my glasses on. Next thing I know, I'm calling the agent. And they say, you know, how can I help you today? Boom. Line goes dead. Call back. And they keep dropping the calls. And a customer in the store saw me struggling, came up and helped me back to the pharmacy. So when I was going out, the same thing. These glasses don't work as well as just using your iPhone. When I finally got an agent, they were helpful. And anybody with an iPhone can use Ira for free at a particular Walgreens store. Now, the people, you know, obviously at the Walgreens don't know that or weren't aware of it. But you can use that for free, Julie. So it doesn't cost you anything to do that at a Walgreens store.
The other thing is with Ira, can you choose? I don't know if you can do this. When you have the glasses and the Samsung phone that they use for Ira, can you choose the carrier that Ira uses to connect you to their agents? In other words, if you're in an area where you know AT&T service isn't good, can you choose Verizon over AT&T or T-Mobile? Can you do that with Ira or not? Is that transparent to you as the user?
I don't think you can.
I don't think you can. I know Doug from Pittsburgh has had that issue, and I read about some people on the list, but it was terrible. It didn't do me one bit of good. And I don't mean to sound so negative today. That's not my intent at all.
One thing that I found out with the Samsung phone, if you check in to see if the wherever you are has Wi-Fi, and if you connect with that, you're probably going to do a little bit better, because a lot of times, like Verizon might drop off somewhere, but you can do it with Wi-Fi.
Okay, but all right, I'm strolling into Walgreens today, and I don't want to sound like Jeff with the glass half full here. But so I go in there. So how am I going to switch my phone or that thing that came with Ira? How am I going to switch it to the Walgreens public Wi-Fi or whatever, if they offer that there?
Yeah, once you have it set up, like if you go in there, like the first, at some point, you'd have to go in and make sure that your phone will connect whenever you turn it and tell it the phone to turn on Wi-Fi.
And it should. No, what I'm talking about the phone, I'm talking about the phone that you get with your
glasses.
You can't switch the carrier on that one, I don't believe.
No.
All right. So, yeah, you can do that. But I'm talking about the glasses issue. When they say, you know, everything is so much better with the glasses, but if you can't connect, it's not so good. That is an issue.
Dave, you have the phone with the glasses. Does the Samsung phone let you go to Wi-Fi, or is it only tethering you to, I should say, 4G LTE, whatever it is?
No, you can connect it to Wi-Fi. In fact, when we're here, we use the Wi-Fi.
And how do you put a password with that Samsung phone? Is it does it have a talking keyboard? Or how does that work? Like at home, my Wi-Fi is, I'd have to put a password and I have to connect to the right network. Does Samsung let you do that? Or how does that work?
You do it with the app.
Okay, very good.
All right, so I think we pretty well, unless anybody else has any topics on the particular experience at Walgreens. Talk about one other experience that, and we're not using names here, but Jeff brought this up to me this morning, and this was an issue. He knew somebody who got a job, had a very responsible job for a year, was not a totally blind person, but visually impaired. Maybe he's a high partial Jeff, I'm not sure. But he worked at a company for a year. His year is up. He goes in. They say he's not allowed to enter. He's out of there. He's fired. Jeff's thinking discrimination. I'm saying there's probably more to the story. Am I oversimplifying this, Jeff?
Yeah, essentially, he was working for the company on a year-to-year contract, and they did not renew his contract. But rather than telling him that, he went into work expecting to sign the contract, and they told him, sorry, your services are not going to be needed anymore, and they wouldn't let him in the building. And I haven't talked to him just since it happened, but it was certainly not a pleasant experience. And of course, I will tell you that I am the pessimist, and I will say that the glass is half empty, where my sister Sharon will always tell me the glass is half full. But when I see someone, and it happens to someone who has a visual impairment, my first reaction is to say, is that person being discriminated against because he's visually impaired? Now, this person is sighted. He does have a visual issue, but he's sighted and doesn't want people to know that he has a visual issue. So that's the issue. And when you lose your job like that, it is certainly crushing. Very crushing. I mean, it never happened to me that way. I was never lost a job or never had a job where I was told, you know, you're not allowed in the building. I mean, it's quite common in radio. I can tell you stories of people I know in radio. It's happened to over and over again. So this has never happened to me. But I just, how do you know when it's a discrimination issue, when it's a performance issue or what? Because so many times I've seen visually impaired people lose their jobs and they're always saying, well, because they can't perform properly. But maybe they really were performing properly. You know, I don't know that there's a clear cut answer to this question.
Well, the only thing that makes me wonder is why wouldn't they have, it seems strange that they wouldn't have notified him and said, I'm sorry, you know, we've terminated your contract and you don't need to come back. Why would you let somebody come to work the following?
That was the first thing I was going to say. Bill, you have your hand raised. Let me unmute you. Go ahead, Bill.
Okay, I'm going to tell you a personal experience. When I got my first job, well, I worked the same place for 15 and a half years, but when I went in and interviewed, I interviewed with the supervisor, and then he said, okay, I'm going to have you interview with the manager of the place. So I went up and saw the manager, and he looked at me and he said, is there any problem or anything? I said, well, I'll tell you up front, I do have a visual problem, but I can see to get around and no problem with it. I could read with a magnifying glass, stuff like that. But when I got to him, I said, let's get one thing straight. I said, my vision problem never bothers me. I've done everything I wanted to do. But I said, if I walk down the stairs or walk in a hallway or someone and I trip over a bucket and break my arm, the same as you could if you didn't notice it, walking down a stairway, you step on something on the step and slip and it shouldn't have been there. I said, I will sue you to the hilt and that's where I stand. He looks at me and he said, you're honest, you're hired. Be upfront with the people. Just tell them that you have a vision problem. That way, you know, they know right away because this guy, he could have been, he didn't say anything, and they might have caught it and said, oh, we can't have him work in here for maybe the type of job he's doing, what kind of job he's doing. I just told him up front that if a perfect sighted person could trip over the same thing, say there was something on the stairs that somebody left there, a broom or anything, and I said, I didn't notice it, and you might not notice it, and you fall, I said, I will sue you to the hilt.
One of the things that I learned, Bill, my dad always told me this, and he said, you know, I'm never going to be around. I'm not going to be around forever. And when you get a job, he always felt that the blind person should be twice as good as the sighted person. And I put myself under a lot of pressure when I worked for New York State thinking that way. And I realized I can't be twice as good as the sighted person. I can be only as good as I am. And I,
right.
Once I got rid of that pressure feeling in my body, and once I said I will do the best to my ability, I didn't come home getting sick, getting nauseous every night because I was putting myself under that kind of pressure. Things worked out better for me mentally and physically. And I think I think that a lot of people think that blind people should be twice as good as the sighted person, where I remember as a computer programmer, I had made a mistake in a program and they blamed it on my blindness. But when someone who was sighted made the same mistake, oh, that was just an oversight. So there is a double standard out there. And unfortunately, it still exists today and it's going to exist forever. But you just do the best you can. That's all I can say.
I'm going to take this back a point just a little bit. Jenny, maybe you don't want to be put on the spot here, but maybe you do. It's been a long time. A similar circumstance happened to you on a particular job where you were blindsided and didn't know something was coming. Are you willing to share a little bit of that experience and how demeaning that was?
It was very demeaning. I had been working at a job. I had my evaluations and I got good evaluations and everything, and I assumed I was going to be at this job, and I noticed that they started having all these meetings, and then the people that had been friendly before weren't so friendly, and then they finally called me in and said, well, you know, we don't want you for this job anymore, so you can stay here till the end of the week if you want, but then that's it.
Did they give you a reason why, Jennifer?
Well, they gave me stupid reasons, like, well, you put stamps on the envelopes upside down, and you sang with the song on the radio when nobody was in the office. Stupid things that could have been corrected if somebody wanted to bring it to your attention. But what it amounted to mostly was that they wanted me to get a better computer, and the rehab wasn't going to pay for it because I made the mistake. Don't ever do this. Learn from my mistake and never do this. I got this job because I had my own equipment, and they hired me partly because I already had the adaptive equipment and they wouldn't have had to pay for anything because they wanted to do it on the cheap. So I always, in hindsight, I always felt like I was set up to fail in that job. And I felt so bad after they let me go because I really tried on that job and I was there every day and I didn't take leave that I didn't have or anything like that. And it took a long time to ever even think about looking for something else to do.
You know, Jennifer, I'm going to say this, and I always say this, and we can legislate affirmative action to the hilt. We can legislate and force people to want to hire the handicapped, but you know what? There's something that you can't legislate. You know what that is? Attitude. I don't care what they tell you. You cannot legislate attitude. I see that we have a hand raised from...
Well, the problem with this particular job that made it hurt so much was this was an agency that was supposed to be helping hire blind people. They had blind people that worked, that they were supposed to be helping them place them in jobs.
You know what?
So they were supposed to be used to working with blind people.
I don't want to hog the conversation, but I'll just say quickly, I worked for a while for the VA hospital was run by the Utica Association for the Blind as a phone operator. And the way that the supervisor who was cited treated the blind employees was like they were children. Now, I walked in and she goes, well, you know, Jeff, if you don't perform properly, you won't be allowed to watch TV. Here I am almost 60 years old working at this place and being told that. I mean, I think that the idea is that blind people should be treated like regular adults and not like children and not like the sighted, like you're inferior to a sighted person. And that's what happens a lot of times. So I can tell you that Joe and Ellen, I think they have their hand.
This is Joe. I got to tell you about this unusual job situation. Me and another blind person, we were working in sales at KUXL Radio in Golden Valley, Minnesota, and the manager wanted to hire another person to work in sales, but he wanted another blind person, absolutely, and State Services for the Blind brought in a candidate, and me and this other person, we did the interviewing, and John said, whoever you think is the best, that is the one we will hire. And it was absolutely great to be in a situation to be interviewing somebody for a job instead of the other way around. And John McCooley, the station manager, so definite, another blind person. So that is my unusual story.
Very
right
good.
Here.
One thing that State of New York tried to do when I was working for it is take all the blind people, put them all in the same unit and segregate them. And I put my foot down about that. I said, no, that's illegal. That's like saying that if you were black, we'll put all the blacks in one unit. And they stopped that pretty quickly. And I'm not an activist, and I don't normally do that kind of stuff, but I was pretty upset about that. Okay, Bill, I'm sorry to hog the plug.
No. Anybody else have
I want to throw out a few things here. because I had some of this in a unique situation. First of all, I've learned that a lot of these states, they'll give these companies these incentive programs, or maybe they'll do partial payment for like up to 9 months. The first 3 months, they'll pay so much, and the next 3 months, they'll pay a little bit less. And companies will use that and keep the person while they're getting that subsidy. And once that subsidy runs out, they let them go. My experience was working in radio. They were afraid of a discrimination type suit. So what they did is just do a weekly demotion. Every Monday, they would take away some duty or task. So I ultimately went from 40 hours down to like 6 or maybe 12 hours a week. And I was playing the Bob Kingsley Country Show and maybe a couple basketball games or something, you know, Saturday night, no one else wanted to work. So those kind of things can happen where it's more subtle, and ultimately it's not subtle because, you know, but it's a over the time demotion type of situation because they're afraid of you taking some kind of action. And I wouldn't threaten today in 2019, Bill, threatening to sue to the hilt. That was probably a different day back then, but 2019, yeah. I don't know that I would throw that one out there, but...
Well, I mean, I was disappointed. My counselor wouldn't even stand up for me. I mean, I thought maybe she would say, well, you know, why are you going to fire this person for no reason?
Well, because they don't want to burn the bridge. They want to put other people in there. They derive their revenue, their success from placing people. So, and, you know, maybe this counselor didn't believe in you. I it's hard to say, you know, in those situations. I'm getting ready to do a course. This is an 18-week course. It costs $8,000. And I was already told, you know, there's no guarantee that you're going to get a job when you come out the other end of this, because you will be competing against sighted folks. And, you know, it's still a relatively new program that they're doing. They've only had one other completed class, and they just had one, I guess, that just finished up here in February, and they'll be testing. And but to my knowledge, no one is truly gainfully employed from this program just yet. So, you know, times are tough out there, and you have to be a self-advocate. And that could be a whole topic, you know, if we have people that are even still looking for work that listen to this show, is the new ways that you do it with the LinkedIn and the ZipRecruiter and marketing yourself. And then they have the job coaches that sometimes the rehab people will provide. I don't know how successful they are. I've never used anything like that. So,
and we acknowledge you, Julie. We'll get to you in a second. But I know people who are their own worst enemies at job interviews. They'll talk themselves out of a job by going on with extraneous information and doing this and that and another at an interview. So that's another key thing. And maybe we can get a guest on here who can talk about presenting yourself in job interviewing. And go ahead, Julie.
You know, I have heard that even a state agency for the blind, that someone has come in and they have told them to get their things and they can no longer enter the building for that job. That just seems to be a way that agency, you know, that different agencies do things. I don't think it's the right way at all, but it happens.
It happens more than you know, Julie, and it's not akin to being blind or sighted. It's akin to the way that particular agency or that particular company does things. It's not uncommon for a company to say that when you're fired, you're out of the building and you can't come back in. And I've heard that happen more than once in all kinds of fields.
I've been on both sides of the desk, because both in radio and at the Better Business Bureau, I was involved in hiring and interviewed people and made decisions. And so I can tell you, you know, from being on the interviewer side, it's a very eye-opening experience, and you learn what to look for. And there's a lot of things you think about when you're trying to decide who you want to bring in. Not just, do they have the skills? Do they have the motivation? You know, and are they going to stay with you? How long are they going to stay? Is this just something, maybe they're very qualified, but you could tell they're probably going to get bored in 3 to 6 months and want to move on. So there's a lot of things that you look at.
Yeah.
And now they have to deal with their security now. And is this a person who would be likely to get angry and be explosive? And even if they're not, they have to handle everybody just in case that could happen.
Working in Social Security office, I was on both sides of that, and we specifically hired a visually impaired, and I was in on that hiring process and was involved deeply in the training. And because we set a pretty high expectation in that office, and I kind of felt sorry for that blind person. And they couldn't live up to that. And they were constantly compared to a few of us, and it didn't work out for them. They were just an average blind person. And that doesn't mean that they were bad or anything, but it didn't work out for them. And the particular manager happened to be so bad, she was harassing her on a daily basis. And I had to intervene and get that stopped. Now, that was about a year before I retired, and I really didn't. They weren't going to fire me. And we had to threaten everything to stop that manager. I mean, she was saying, you know, what's wrong with you? Well, you've got mental problems because you're blind too. Why can't you work up to standards? And just browbeat this poor girl within an inch of her life, and affected her so badly she couldn't eat for days at a time. She was so nervous and so messed up. And so, you know, you can go from one extreme to the other. We're just about ready to switch over, Bill. Go ahead and make your comment.
Yeah, Bill. Yeah.
Go ahead, Bill.
Yeah, okay. What I was going to say was, yeah, Bill, that situation you're saying right there, I ran into that same problem where I worked, and there was a person in HR that we never got along. Well, finally, I had enough pull, being the years experience, I got them bounced out. And to this day, if she sees me on the street, she'll still do something like walk into me or do something, and I know who it is. I just don't bother with it. But no, that can happen. My opinion is, if someone's harassing someone in the same physical condition that the other people in, sure, maybe not everybody can work the same, but you don't harass them that way. She should have been out of there. I mean, because I got this one out of there. I mean, you intervened good. I mean, but you know, she shouldn't have been. She's still working there. She shouldn't even be there at all.
Oh. over that lady, I remember getting called into that manager's. You pick that person. That's up to you. You know, you're. Then I get the highest award for Social Security, Commissioner Sackett. Oh, well, you know, I was just kidding about all those things I said. Yeah, right. Well, fortunately, what goes around come around, and she was later fired by the agency because she was doing illegal things. So if what went around came around and justice came here. But it looks like we're about ready to wrap up this first hour and getting ready for Chris and Dave's demo. Boy, thanks for all the lively discussion. Chris and Dave, what are we going to be talking about today so I can look for your demo?
Well, we are going to talk about not using canned air to clean your products like keyboards and all that kind of good stuff. And so we have a device, an electric device that can do the job without having to use canned air.
So I was trying to get you to throw me a lifeline there. What system?
Easy go.
Oh, okay. See, I was trying to subtly get a hint there. We got it. See, that's all it took. Just one word here. But we're going to play Chris and Dave's demo. And just, I'm stalling for just a little bit here, waiting on the Dropbox to sync or do its thing. But letting you know, while this demo is on, everybody that's in the panel will be placed on a mute status. You'll still be able to listen. There will be no problem. You just, for your own, there won't be any noise. So that's what we normally do on the conversations. It's for the recording because you can go to our Legend website and download this or type in Legend. What is it? Now I'm forgetting here. Legend.
Worldwide Legend.
Yeah, Worldwide, all written together, space Legend. When you either go to iTunes or you search for your favorite podcast, and you can hear this, you know, you tell your friends about our podcast. And we have these every week. So here we go.
Well, good morning, everyone. Today, we are ready to do another exciting demo. And today's demo is about cleaning. Now, this is a different type of cleaning because this is air cleaning. And the unit that we are going to demonstrate today is for cleaning computer keyboards, inside of computers, and anything else you need to blow out. I don't mean blow up. I mean blow out.
Anything you would have used canned air for, basically.
Right. So get rid of that canned air, because canned air can cause some problems. Because for one, if you're using canned air, if you shake the can and you spray it, it's cold, and cold can damage some electronic equipment. So you want to be very careful when you use canned air, because 9 times out of 10, if you turn it upside down and you spray it, it's going to be cold.
Or liquid may even come out.
Yeah, it gets real moist. And
the other problem with canned air is it gets, as you spray it, as your can gets more and more empty, your air pressure gets less and less.
Right.
So
this is an electric unit, so you never lose air pressure like you do with the can when it runs out of whatever that stuff is inside that can. So anyway, the unit that we're using today is a CompuClean 2.0 air duster. I think I got that right. It actually has a longer term than that. So I guess probably the first thing I ought to do is let Chris, she can give you the long term.
This is currently available on Amazon, but if you want one, I would suggest you hurry because there aren't many left in stock. I feel like they'll be getting some more, but I don't know that. This is called Easy Go, and it's one word, capital E-A-S-Y, capital G-O. Easy Go CompuCleaner 2.0 electric high pressure air duster. It is available on Amazon, as I said, for $42, and it is an Amazon Prime item.
Now, this unit can, it would be, it would, well, I guess you could say if you bought three cans of air, would be what you would pay for this, that you never have to worry about this unit. I'm sorry. If you bought eight cans, it would take eight cans of canned air. So if you could replace those eight cans with this unit, it would pay for itself.
That's according to Amazon's description.
Yeah. All right. So what I have here is an electric unit. It's probably about 4 inches in diameter around. The top of the unit, if you have it on the if you have the unit sitting on a table, the top of the unit is about 5 inches high, and then there's like a nozzle part of it that sticks up beyond that about 3 inches or so.
How heavy is it?
This unit weighs maybe a pound.
It has a 9-foot cord.
Yep, a 9-foot power cord, which is kind of really nice. If I turn this unit around, have it on the table, and if I turn around, there's a handle on the front, what I would call the front of the unit. And obviously, you'll know what that is when you see it. But if you bring your hands up just a little bit above the handle, there is a button. Well, it's a switch. And what you do is when you turn that switch on, after you plug it in, it will automatically start blowing air. And when you take the unit out of the box, it comes with some attachments. On the end of this nozzle that's sticking up from the top of the unit, if you take your hands out to the very end of this wide nozzle, it's probably about an inch and a half around. And on each side, there's a pin that sticks out on each side. And then you take one of these attachments. The attachments are, you have big ones and small ones. You have three bigger attachments. They're all different sizes. And then you've got two little attachments. And then a thing that looks like a straw that is flexible on one end and a long straw type thing on the other end. And then you've got two other little attachments. One is like a little brush, and the other is just sort of flat, real skinny thing with a tiny hole in it. So if you're going to go into a place where you need real fine air going into it, whatever it is you're going to clean, you'll use that small attachment. Yeah, I used this for a long time, and I discovered that I had two of those little attachments that I just mentioned. They were stuck inside one of the other attachments. And these little attachments come in really handy, that is. Oh, well. Anyway, they come in real handy for cleaning, like, computer keyboards and things like that. Now, in the box, there are a couple, as I said, bigger attachments. And these attachments, they sort of come to a point on the end of the, at least a couple of these attachments. And then they widen out as you bring your hand down towards the bottom of the attachment. And then there is a slot on each side of the attachment
so that when you put it onto the air cleaner unit itself, you'll take the attachment in one hand and take your other hand over to the unit, electric unit, and you'll find the end of the nozzle type thing that's sticking up that has the pin on each side of it, of the end of it. And you take the attachment and you will put it on so that the slots in each side of the attachment go over those pins that are on each side of the unit. And then you twist it. That would be clockwise until it stops. And that locks the attachment into place. Now, the one that I have on here right now is it's the bigger attachment, but it comes to a point that sort of looks like a straw on the end, but it's a little thicker than that. And that is so that I can plug in the first attachment. I think that I talked about in the beginning was a long straw type thing that's flexible on one end, and then the other end, it just comes out like a straw. And then what I did was I took the brush attachment, it's just a small brush attachment, and slipped it onto the end of this straw, so that now it's connected to the machine and I've got the straw like sticking out. And I'll demonstrate what happens here with this in just a little bit. Now, then, as I said, we have the other, we're also already using, actually, technically, three attachments. One that fits onto the machine, the straw is plugged into that attachment, and then the brush on the end of the straw type piece. And we have two other attachments. And the first one is a bigger attachment that would go onto the machine itself, just like I put on the first attachment onto the machine. And it comes out to a, I wouldn't say it's a point, it comes out to, it has a hole in the end of the attachment that's probably close an inch round. Now that one is used for, like, if you have something bigger, like maybe you want to blow a hose out or something, you can slide this inside the hose, the end of this attachment inside the hose, turn your unit on and maybe blow whatever's in that hose out. And then the last attachment is a wide attachment with the slots in one end of it, and then it's just a flared out piece on the end of it. It kind of looks like a brush, but it really isn't a brush. It's just an open piece that goes sideways, and that goes onto the machine the same as the other attachments. I've used this unit for many different projects. I repaired a radio that was given to me, and one of the first things I had to do, because it was burned up.
Old Smokey.
Good old Smokey. Anyway, I used this unit because where the pieces that burned up were scattered all over the inside of the circuit board, and I had to get all of those out of there before I could start working on the unit. It took me a little while because there was a lot of burned up stuff in there. It was kind of awesome.
Old Smokey got his name because when we got it, it still smelled like smoke.
Yeah.
So I christened it Old Smokey.
So anyway, it did a good job. I used this, the small attachment with the brush on it, and turned the machine on and went all over the inside and cleared all that junk off of the board. And then I was able to get in there with my meters and stuff and start troubleshooting, try to figure out what was wrong. But anyway, so right now I have the cord plugged into the other. This unit, by the way, the outside of the case is plastic. It's like a hard plastic. And so are all the attachments, except for the little attachment that has the brush on it. So what I have here right now is a keyboard. And this thing is going to make a little bit of noise, kind of like this. So I've got a keyboard. I've got a couple of keys that are a little, you know, they're a little, they must have a little dust in them because sometimes they work good and sometimes they don't. So I've got this unit with the attachment on that holds the little brush, and I'm going to turn this on and clean this keyboard.
Oh, it sounds like a mini vac.
Yeah, and that's probably a little loud for you folks on the air. Sorry about that, but that's how it works. This is a real radio, folks. But anyway, and there was some stuff kind of flew off that keyboard. So you want to use the small attachments when you're doing a keyboard, because if you use the big attachments, you're going to get too much air and you might even knock the keys off the keyboard. So you don't want to do that. But anyway, I see a little spot here that I want to fix. There we go. Looks like brand new now.
I don't know what the cubic feet per minute is. It doesn't tell me that. It may somewhere on the box. I don't know. The description didn't tell me, but they're pretty strong.
I think it's like 40 PSI or something. It's not real high powered. The nice thing about this unit, if you're using the bigger attachments, like if you have a sweeper hose, you know, so I'm sure a lot of you women out there, when you're vacuuming, well, guys too, for that matter, get a sweeper hose that gets plugged up. So what you can do is use the bigger attachment, stick it into your sweeper hose, and hold it in there a little bit and let it build up a little pressure in there, and hopefully whatever's stuck in there is going to pop out the other end of the hose. And depending, I wouldn't say it's going to work every single time, but for small things like, well, I don't know, pieces of paper or something like that that might got wedged in there, it'll just blow them right out of that hose. Another thing you could use this for, you know, sometimes if you're cleaning the floor or something, and you might want to, if you say something gets spilled on the floor or dusty, like maybe flour or something like that, what you can do is use like one of the smaller attachments, and you can blow it into a pile, you know, and then use your vacuum cleaner if you want to, and use a vacuum cleaner to pick it up. Because this doesn't pick up, it blows up. So anyway, that's pretty much how the unit works. And I will have Chris give you the information about the product one more time.
This particular one is from Amazon. I'm sure other places probably do have them, but this is where we found it. We've had our unit since 2016. It is called Easy Go, which is one word, capital E-A-S-Y, capital G-O, CompuCleaner 2.0 Electric High Pressure Air Duster, Computer Cleaner Blower for Keyboards, Electronic Devices, and Laptops. And it is $42. And what I did in the Amazon search, I just searched for Easy Go CompuCleaner, and it came up.
Now, what I did was I got a plastic bag for all these attachments, because when I got the unit, they were sort of just laying inside the box. So I got a little Ziploc bag, and I can keep all my attachments in that Ziploc bag. And so I can take my attachment off of the unit right now by turning it counterclockwise. And I will pull the straw unit off of that attachment that I just took off. And I will pull that brush type thing off the end of the straw. I'm going to put all these units of attachment back into my plastic bag and zip it shut and disconnect my unit from the wall, and I'll just wrap the cord around the handle and I should be good to go. Well, that's all the time we have for this demo. It does exactly what it's supposed to do. If you have any questions, you can email Bill Sparks at bill@billsparks.org. That's bill@billsparks.org.
Or if you have any comments or questions concerning this particular device during the live broadcast, you may reach us by dialing 646-558-8656. That's 646-558-8656. Press pound when you're asked for the user ID. You will enter 848-725-450. That's 848-725-450. You will then be prompted to press pound again. When you do that, you will be asked for your user ID, and you just press pound one.
So that's why I went to Katie.
As I said, that's all the time for this demo. Stay tuned for another exciting demo.
Well, there we go. Thank you very much, guys. Anybody have any questions on the panel, or anybody have discussions on this particular?
Dave, can I use that thing to clean up volume controls on the like a radio, or if I have a radio that has a noisy volume control, would that work for that thing too?
Oh, yeah, yes, because it's got those real small attachments, and you can. Take the knob off of the volume control if it's one that sticks up, and then you can just sort of let some air blow down through there, and it'll clean it out or take it apart.
Anything you use canned air for.
Yeah.
Did you say how much it cost?
$42.
Ah, okay.
Now, would it sometimes
be? Yeah, I just got a question.
Oh, go ahead.
Real quick question. Does that also work for, remotes, TV remotes? You know, how they get dirty and whatnot.
Well, it can. You have to be careful with the remote, though, because, they're pretty fragile to begin with. But you use a small attachment with the brush, and with the little brush that goes with it, and just keep the air away from the remote. Don't put it right up against it. And if you're careful, it should work fine.
If you've ever seen the inside of a remote, you wonder how they even work.
Yeah.
Kind of like a Victor Stream. Would it work with a Braille display? Let's say you've got a Braille display with some dots. I know we used to use spray at work.
Yeah. If you could use canned air with that, you could use this unit. And it would probably be safer with this unit because you're not getting any moist air coming out of there.
Okay.
So that's using a form of hydrogen, right? Is that the air itself? I mean, I don't know what.
No, this just it's basically an air compressor.
Just a small one.
It's small. So, it takes air in from the bottom of the unit and then puts it out through the nozzle.
Because I know with canned compressed air, you're never supposed to have it completely upside down because then it becomes pure hydrogen and you can actually damage things. I don't know if you could have the same issue or something you'd be mindful of, or if it's a different type of air.
Yeah, it just straight air. It's that stuff that whatever's in that Freon, I guess it is, inside that can. If you have canned air where this, it just takes the air from the room through the bottom and then it comes out the nozzle. And
does it have a filter?
Yes, it does. It's built into the bottom of the unit. And you can take the filter out and clean it if you need to, but I've never really had to do that because I don't have it turned on very long, so it doesn't really have a chance to get plugged up or anything.
Have you cleaned out computers with it? Because I don't know if you have to be careful of what you touch, but you're trying to get air in there in all the right places.
Yeah, I use it on especially my studio computer because it is in the studio and we're not in here every single day. So once in a while, I'll just take it and blow it out.
No, you never know. You know, Jenny asked me to bring up a topic, and we kind of touched on this before the show. And Chris, we will get back in plenty of time for your recipes. But Ben suggested this topic, and people have been wanting to talk about it a little bit. Podcast, your favorite podcast. Podcasts seem to be the new thing for entertainment. It kind of, along with the your Lady A devices and Google devices, smart devices, speakers, or whatever, kind of changed to radio. Well, podcast, and I'll get into mine in just a few moments, but has really changed my radio listening habits. Mike, you were going to suggest them, and then Jennifer, you were?
Yeah, we can. I should go grab my phone. I have over 50, and I wouldn't mention all 50, but I'm trying to think of some of the best ones.
Well, then you go get your phone if you want to.
Okay, I'll do that. Did Jenny mention her favorites?
Go ahead, Jennifer.
One of my favorites is one called 20,000K. 20,000 Hertz, I'm sorry. And it's a podcast, and they try to talk about different sounds and how sound affects you. Like the most recent one was about how noisy it is in restaurants and places, and how there are architects that work with how audio should be implemented in the design of buildings so that they make quieter places. And they've done all kinds of things. They've done things on the NBC chime, where it came from, and different things like that. It's a really cool podcast. If you are into sports, there's the Locked On podcast that take a team and give you a daily podcast on a particular team.
What about the mysteries that you like? Some of your murder, or what's those crimes all?
There's one that I like now that's called The Minds of Madness. And it takes a true crime and goes, investigates the person, tries to give you insight into this person that committed the crime and why they did it. And there's one that NPR does that's called Criminal that talks about people that were involved with different, either related to somebody that committed a crime, or the last one they did was on a lady that ran numbers to make money. And it was her daughter, and she was talking about how her mom, when she was a little girl, was a bookie, and she picked these daily lottery numbers, and she did it for a living for several years, and about how, you know, they just knew that they weren't supposed to talk about what mom did for a living and things. It's just kind of interesting, the people that she's talked to.
Those are just a few, and I'll share some of mine in a moment. I'll let Michael, I think, was it Joe Ellen that's got a comment?
Yeah, that's me. We have two that we full-time radio.
Who are you guys?
Yeah, she's breaking up for some reason.
Yeah, she uses old time radio. What is that, Ellen? Looks like Ellen maybe.
We've lost them. Okay.
We've
to come back.
Yes.
Yeah, I think they lost their connection.
Yeah, I think she broke up her connection.
Lost her connection. Something about old time radio. You're going to say something, Michael?
Well, I could go through these quickly here. I have a kind of different categories. I'm kind of a news junkie. So I'll mention there's a few that are hourly. So those of you, like, if there's a breaking story, if you just want some different perspectives, there's ABC News, there's Fox News, and there's NPR, National Public Radio. So those are three. If you just kind of want hourly news with breaking stories. If you not quite as much into the news, well, first, I guess if you're into evening news, you've got all the three networks, CBS, ABC, and NBC. I don't listen to NBC, but so you've got those if you're interested. As far as if you just want something, one thing daily, just to kind of keep on top of what's happening, there's three that I think are really good. One is called The Newsworthy. Her name is Erica Mandy. She's really good. I think I put it out about 4 a.m. Eastern. So it's just kind of a good recap of the previous day, and it's just under 10 minutes. That's a really good one. Then there's the World News Roundup that's put out in the mornings, sometime around 8 o'clock. That's from CBS, and there's one on from ABC I started listening to that's put out in the mornings called Start Here, and it's kind of good. So those are three if you just kind of want to just know what's going on around you and keep it under 10 minutes or whatever. Those are three good ones in that realm. You mentioned NPR. The three that I listen to right now, one is called TED Talks Daily. TED is a, it's kind of a think tank. They have these meetings, get-togethers, conferences and brilliant people doing really amazing things in different areas talk and share their knowledge. So what they do is they feature one every day. So if you're just really interested in just amazing things that people are doing around the world, that's a good one. There is the one we were talking about, Ask Me Another. That's kind of like, it's kind of like a quiz show. It's kind of like Jeopardy, but it's a little more fun. It's not quite uptight, and they throw a little humor in there. So that's one. And it has a companion, I guess. It's called Wait, Wait. So they're kind of like little quiz shows, and they do them in front of a live studio audience. I mean, you can tell when you listen to them that they're edited, but they're still pretty good. They're very well produced, very professional, upbeat, fast-paced. So I like those shows. There's one called Hidden Brain that's kind of neat. It talks about, dives into why we do things, and I find that one very interesting. So those are kind of on your... the other things I do are more technology and assistive technology, so maybe we'll talk about some of the assistive tech ones, because that's relevant to this podcast. There's one that Randy Rusnak does, Accessibility Moving Forward. He does about one a month. There's Apple Viz. There's the Assistive Technology FAQ that they do every other Monday. That's where people write in their questions and so forth, and then they answer about five or six of those. Blind Abilities, Blind Bargains. one I haven't heard any activity out of lately. It's Jonathan Mosen, the one called The Blind Side. I keep it in there because maybe someday he'll resurrect it when he gets bored with what he's doing. He goes and spells. A lot of people do when they do these things. They go hot and cold on them. And I have a lot that are specific to WordPress and so forth. But if you're into technology, there's one called Daily Tech Headlines. That's a good one. Then there's a little more detailed Daily Tech News. And then there's one called Tech Meme. That's spelled M-E-M-E. Daily Tech Meme. And so those are, if you just kind of like to stay up on technology, not specifically assistive technology, but just technology in general, those are, and there's others, but those are, I'll throw out as kind of some of my main podcasts that I listen to.
Two notifications. Overcast, 14 minutes ago.
There you go. That's the one, a podcast coming in.
Yeah, it was me that just did that. I was going to share some of mine here in just a moment. But anyone else got anything before we...
I'll make it quickly. I use the Bloomberg podcast. I like Bloomberg, the business of sports, even though I'm not a sports person, but I like the way they talk about the sports as a business. And Bloomberg on the Law is a daily podcast, talks about the law related to business. Those are the two podcasts I like to listen to.
Sent off button.
Oh, there's a...
Selected, unplayed button.
There's a, take deep dive. A lot of them out there.
MLB.com, search for Jim Day, all podcasts, back button.
There's a lot of them out there, and we could almost do a whole show on just how to find podcasts.
Downloads, button, add playlist.
Now,
you don't want to forget about the Legend podcast.
Of course.
Right.
No, we subscribe to Worldwide Legend, and that way you will hear the Coffee Club, All Things Radio, and of course, Sports Live. Yeah. Live.
Add podcast, search playlists.
I'm just picking up some of mine here. I'm just looking.
Podcasts. The 11th ABC News update.
Oh, I use another one called The 11th Hour. What is that, from MSNBC? Have you ever heard of that one with Brian Williams?
That's from MSNBC.
Aracast.
I use one called
Aracast,
which is, the IRA monthly or weekly or whenever Jonathan wants to put that out. The Blind Side, he's put on hold, right, Michael, for a while.
Yeah, he said he may do some things on it occasionally, but yeah, he's focused on IRA right now.
Hey, Mike, you listen to so many podcasts. How do you keep track of them? Or do you find yourself getting behind occasionally?
Oh, no. I use Overcast. And so what it does, it has something called a smart playlist, so that if there's something you could take your favorite podcast and put them in there and then click that, label it, whatever you want to call it. And then it'll play those, and you can, say newest to oldest. And so those shows get priority. But I listen at 1.75. So I'm kind of a fast listener. And it also has a built-in feature that does time compression, so that if there's long pauses, it kind of reduces
right,
those.
Just going through some more of mine here, and I love this pod thing that Mike uses. I use Assembly Call. That's an IU basketball. I use another one called Baseball Tonight. You can tell I'm a sports junkie.
Blind
Abilities, just like Michael.
Blind Bargains Audio.
Blind Bargains Audio.
Cincinnati Reds Podcast.
Cincinnati Reds Podcast. I'm a Reds fan.
The Clark Howard Podcast.
Clark Howard. I like Consumer News. Mike, you might like that one. Have you ever heard Clark Howard?
I go in spells with it. I don't listen to it every day because it starts repeating. But yeah, a lot of good. If you're really into consumer information, that is Clark Howard. Is
that's definitely another good one. I use another one called
Cleveland Indians Podcast.
Oh, I guess for my days in Cleveland, I like the a little bit sometimes a little bit of Cleveland Indians news.
Courtside
with Greenberg and Dackage, Dan Dackage, a local announcer in Indianapolis, and he does a lot of college basketball on ESPN. So that's another one I get. I just want to go just a few more of these to show you a pattern here.
Cuomo Primetime with Chris Cuomo, CNN.
The show that Chris and Dave like, Cuomo Primetime from CNN. You get that.
Daily Tech News Show.
That's a similar one to Michael, the Daily Tech News Show.
Dan Dackage Show Podcast.
There's another Dan Dackage.
Hammer Plus Nigel Show Podcast.
There's another talk show with a little bit different perspective. We might do a market scope on called the Hammer and Nigel Show.
Handle on the Law. KFI AM 640.
And Jeff might know this one, Handle on the Law.
I like that show.
In Los Angeles, they do on Saturday.
The Hoosier Report with Matt Jennison.
There's another Indiana Hoosier one called the Hoosier Report. The iMore Show, it's kind of a Mac-type show-based show.
Indianapolis Colts official podcast.
There's a Colts football podcast.
I see. Using various technologies from a person's perspective.
There's another one from David Woodbridge where he demos different technology.
The Jeff and Big Joe Show podcast.
There's another
Big Joe.
The Jeff and Big Joe show. But what the advantage of the podcast is, let's say you don't want to listen to every radio station and wade through all the commercials or whatever. You can listen to the best of some of these shows and just get the interviews and stuff like that. And that's how it's changed my listening habit.
Mike, I'm surprised you don't listen to the Dave Ramsey podcast.
Oh, Dave Ramsey. Well, I have listened to it before, but, you know, after you listen to those, I go in spells with podcasts. I'll listen to something for a while, maybe drop off, maybe come back later. I kind of rotate them in and out because after you listen a while, you kind of start hearing the same things over and over again.
The Cat Sterling Show.
But I mean, the one of the points to make to everyone is any conceivable subject, anything you could possibly be interested in, there's a podcast on that. I listen to one called The Savage Lovecast. This is a guy named Dan Savage. Now, it's a very, very liberal discussion of sex, but I it's amazing the stuff you learn on that show. But so, I mean, there's something for everyone out there.
No, there is something for everyone, and some are well-produced, some aren't so well-produced.
Yeah, I tend to, if it's not very well produced, I won't stay with it. It won't hold my interest.
So, you know, but
so Chris and Dave and Tim, do you guys listen to any?
We listen to some. It's kind of hard to say because, you know, we're always looking around to see what we can find. So I don't really have one in particular.
I still listen to a lot of shows on regular radio that are done and later become podcasts. But I use the podcast newscasts like ABC and NPR. That works real nicely. I use that on my phone.
I use a radio one, Jeff, the Top of the Tower, Scott Feibusch.
Yeah, that's a very nice one, too.
I use that one.
Yeah, I got to start using that one.
Yeah, we've got our All Things Radio, and we've got...
There's one I think Bill and I both listen to called Mike Tech Show. I didn't hear that one in there. That's if you're into computers, if you work on computers or just want to know how to fix some Windows computers.
Are kind of geeky or whatever Apple is.
And there's a Mystic Access. I forgot about them.
Oh, that's another good one.
Yeah, there's a few other AT ones I think I didn't mention, but of course, Worldwide Legend Podcast, you got to subscribe to that one. That's
of course. Right. And I think Leo Laporte, that TYT, I believe he's got podcasts out there as well. That's, you know,
yeah, that's so a good one. It's a little long. It's, you know, it's over 2 hours. So that's one of those that sometimes you go in spells with. You know, you listen to it for a while and you go, oh, maybe I'll take a little break. That's one thing I like about Overcast is you can actually, you don't have to subscribe to it, but you can have it in your list of podcasts. So in other words, it won't show you every time there's a new episode, but it's there when you want to go back and listen to it. Say, I haven't listened to that for a month. Maybe go back and see if they're doing anything new and exciting over there.
And they'll tell you if a podcast is inactive or active too. So that's a good thing to know, too.
There's Tech Talk Archives, but again, that one, I cannot find an RSS feed. I had to manually go to the website and put the feed in there manually. But that's a good, they do Monday nights.
This is very good. They just don't do a good job at promoting themselves, but they do a great job. you know, as far as the podcasts are concerned. But Mystic Access, check that one out. They do a lot of product demos. So
I think Joe raised his hand.
Go ahead.
Hi, this is Joe. I am like you, Tim. The ones that are on regular radio that become podcasts. Now, Pipe Dreams with Michael Barone is heard on the weekend on Minnesota Public Radio and other radio stations, but I am on their email listing, and they send it to me on Monday morning. And, of course, when radio was and some others with heart and voice, because I am a classical music nerd, so that's it.
a lot of good ones out there. Do most people subscribe with their Victor streams? Do they use your iPhone? Do you use your computer? There's so many different ways that you can subscribe to podcasts. I've never heard of a way that you can do it over the phone yet. I mean, over a regular classic phone that you...
Well, unless you use the conversation station and listen to podcasts that way.
Well, that's true, too. But you'd be pretty limited. No, I don't mean that in a bad way. You wouldn't have your choices, I don't think.
Well, you do have choices, and you have to go through a menu of the podcasts that are put up by the conversation station. That's the advantage of doing it with a stream, or the advantage of doing it with Overcast. Well, it doesn't matter, whatever. Maybe podcast, the Apple one, whatever podcast app you use. Doesn't matter. Is that you can search for podcasts and subscribe for them. To subscribe to them, I should say.
Yeah, if you're interested in a particular market of the country, you know, like I listen to one called, This Morning St. Louis and whatever, that way I can hear kind of what's going on in St. Louis. So if you Bill in Chicago wants to hear something specific to Chicago, you have to say Bill does in Indianapolis. So you can, a lot of local programming.
And you can search like my radio station, for example, WNYC in New York produces tons of podcasts, and they've been doing that for years.
Yeah, there's a lot of good ones. I was going to say, speaking of St. Louis, I noticed KMOX has resumed using their HD on 1120.
But yeah, it's a little bit different. I mean, the podcast, but it's a different way of listening to radio. I consider it listening to radio, just in a different way.
I believe it's the new radio. I saw someone, the head of Clear Channel or head of iHeart, said that Lady A is the radio of the future. And I would say that, and combined with podcasts, of course, you can listen to most of those podcasts if you don't have an iPhone. If you do have a voice assistant, almost all of those can be heard on your Amazon Echo device or Google.
Mike, you remember the days, I think in San Francisco, there was a station, I think it was KYUU AM or something like that, and they did nothing but 24 hours of podcasts, and it didn't work out for them. They were certainly ahead of the time, but that was something that was done, I'm going to say maybe 10 years ago or more, and they were doing podcasts on the radio, and that's all I can say.
I mean, I thought of that. I think eventually there will be a talk radio, an all podcast type, and companies are seeing that. But think about it, because if you could do a podcast first, you get to see some numbers of people listening, and then you can make...
ESPN's.
Right. Talk radio for ESPN's a great example.
ESPN's trying that right now a lot. Go ahead, buddy.
Go ahead, buddy.
I was trying to find out what is the best podcast app for the iPhone. I told Siri to find 20,000 Hertz, and I found that episode. What's the most accessible with VoiceOver?
Well, there's a few that are accessible. I myself like Overcast, and there's a number of reasons which we've talked about before. I think you'd like it, buddy, as an audiophile, because you can make all audio the same level, so you don't have to keep turning it up and down. You got the ability to adjust speed. You got the ability to do time compression, where it doesn't change the speed, but it just removes the silences. But it's just the organization, and I'm a big Overcast. I have not found one better. A lot of people use Downcast. That's another one that's been out there for a while.
Yeah, that's the one I had open. That's the one I had open today.
Yeah. Good stuff.
I'm sending three streams back today, so I'll to Humanware. I hope I get that fixed, but I like it on the sometimes I like it on the iPhone, sometimes I like it on the Victor stream.
But don't you notice the iPhone is much faster, buddy?
Oh, it is. Oh, it's much, much faster. Have you noticed on BART it takes a book 30, 40 minutes to get it on the stream? And I don't know about the Victor Trek. I'll say that iPhone gets it just like it's on the 7, it's instantaneous almost.
I like podcasts on my screen, though, because I don't get interrupted by notifications from my phone when I'm trying to listen to something.
Oh, I have to go turn those off because I get Fox News and everybody else in it. Would you like this to allow this? and you say, yeah, and then you forget, and then you get all these notifications, and I'm like, good Lord.
Yeah,
it's overwhelming sometimes.
I
mean, you can turn those off. Yeah. One of the podcasts that people like to listen to, but does cost money, is Coast to Coast has a podcast, and if you want to listen to their shows or repeat to their radio shows, I don't know what the cost is, but I know that you can do that and subscribe to it, but there is a fee involved with that.
That's a scary show at midnight sometimes.
True, true, true. Hey, I hate to bring all this to an end, but we've got Chris standing by with her recipes.
Thank you.
Thanks. Chris, are you standing by with your famous recipes?
I am, because this is a cold, yucky, rainy, snowy time of year for most of the country still. I have chosen chicken noodle soup today in the Instant Pot. Now, this is not the soup that has the clear broth. This is not, you know, a clear broth soup. You can see the broth. 1 3-5 pound chicken cooked, and save your broth. You cook the chicken, let it cool, take it off the bone, remove the skin, throw the skin and bones away, but hold on to your broth. 3 quarts of water, 1 tablespoon or more of black pepper, 1 tablespoon or more of salt, 2 tablespoons of dehydrated onion, dash of garlic powder, 4 to 6 potatoes, peeled and diced fairly small, 1 12-ounce package of uncooked noodles, 2 chicken bouillon cubes, and 2 cans of cream of chicken soup. And I pressure the chicken in the Instant Pot when I make it. I pressure it for 40 minutes, but it doesn't really matter what you do as long as you cook it. So you can cook it on the stove. And you put your chicken broth from your cooked chicken into your pressure cooker, slow cooker, or pan. I'm using the Instant Pot. You add your, not the chicken now, just the broth. You add your diced potatoes and your noodles and your chicken bouillon cubes, and you pressure that for 2 minutes or cook it till your noodles are done. After you get that done, you add your chicken back to your broth and all your spices and your soup, and you slow cook that for at least 30 minutes or more. If you have cooked your chicken the day before and it's cold, maybe you might have to cook it a little bit more, but just till everything's heated, and that is really, really good.
That sounds good.
Now, what kind of noodles are you going with? I like egg noodles myself.
We like the wide egg noodles. I think they're called extra wide egg noodles. They're really not all that wide, but they're called extra wide egg noodles. And they're probably, I don't know, Dave, what would you say, an inch wide maybe, if that?
Yeah, not quite an inch.
They'll clear out your sinuses on a bad day, I'm sure.
It's good. We haven't made it this year, but we've made it in winters past.
That's one thing that, since we've been in Florida, that we have not had this winter is serious chili.
You know, I could remedy that problem. I could screw some up. I can make some.
Yeah, but I don't know if we have a pan right big enough for you to make chili in. Yeah,
Bill goes big. I tell you, he.
We don't have a pan big enough for him to make chili here.
That could always be rectified.
Maybe he would want to feed all of Naples.
That's what would probably happen.
Well, you could give a good, I made chili in Instant Pot before. That's kind of neat. That's the first time I used it where I kept the lid off to brown the meat and stuff. And It came out pretty good.
It does a good job doing that.
Yeah. That's one thing I left behind at home was my little, what's that thing called? That
cuckoo.
Cuckoo. I left that at home. I left that one at home.
Maybe you should get another one.
No. Not but it works. You could probably do chili in that.
You could.
Now,
you just have to be careful and leave enough room, though, because you'd end up overflowing the pot easy.
Well, there is that, too.
Chris, I've heard of people making cheesecake in an Instant Pot. What do you think of that?
That's doable. I haven't done it, but I know I have done it in the crock pot one time. But yeah, you can make almost anything in there if you've got a pan that'll fit. You can
boil
eggs
in there. Cake, it doesn't come out like cake, though, does it? I mean, how would you get the cake consistency of a cake?
Well, you know, they say that you can. I tried it one time. I didn't have too much. Well, I was trying brownies. I didn't have too much luck, but I only tried it once, and I don't know.
And how do you get it out of the Instant Pot? Do you invert the pot on a plate and have the cake come out that way? I mean, how do you?
No, you put it in another pan inside the Instant Pot.
Oh, okay. I don't remember them explaining that on QVC. Mm-hmm. Maybe they showed it visually and we didn't know.
They give you QVC gives you I think they do call it a cake pan. It looks like a little bucket with a handle on it is what it looks like. But there's all this stuff about, well, you cover it with foil part of the time and then you take it off. And I have a feeling I didn't do something quite right because I never could get the brownie consistency to come out like it should. But they say you can, and it was probably something I did or didn't do.
Have you made one in the air fryer?
I haven't made one in the air fryer.
Could you make one?
It's just like a little convection oven.
Could you do that in your new XL Power?
Oh, yeah. Now, I have made cakes in there, small ones.
I will tell you, the other day in my Cuisinart, I cooked some chicken. I thought, well, I'm going to cook this about the same time. I'll bake some potatoes. But once I put in that big rack of chicken, then there wasn't room for me to put the potatoes like there is. And there was in the Power XL, where I could do both. So I guess you just never know. Maybe it's the way I positioned the rack. I think we've got...
Is it Dick?
Dick from Milwaukee.
Hello, everybody.
Hey there.
I had to chime in on my two favorite podcasts. The Political Junkie is very good. It's on every an hour each week. And he talks politics. And he has little quizzes about... and you can win a Political Junkie button. And also, of course, from being the football junkie that I am, ProFootballTalk.com, Mike Florio has a...
Yeah, he does. It comes in three parts. It's a big time. So if you're into that, from NBC's. Yeah, that's a good one, Dick. And by the way, I gave you credit, Dick, for sharing the Google tutorial, or not Google, but the Chrome tutorial with me.
Yeah, he's David Moore's pretty sharp. He knows what he's doing. He's a Brit from across the pond.
Well, I've never seen anybody do a written tutorial to make it into more understandable than he does.
I agree.
Very, very good job.
I'm glad you looked at that, and I'm glad that you brought it to people's attention listening to the show here.
Right. That's a very, 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 very well written. I've already had somebody write and ask for it, and we'll send it.
You know, Bill, could you please send us some warm weather? You know, this is ridiculous up here.
Hey, we have the corner on good weather here in Southwest Florida, and the only way to share it is to actually come here to Southwest Florida.
Well, this is true.
Yeah, because they have so many laws about importing things, we can't send it any place. You can only come here and get it.
Jen. You know, I got really one more thing real quickly about the earlier in the show you're talking about how companies treat their employees. I know that Mary's company, well, after she left, of course, but they had a big layoff, and they just took them, you're fired, can't even come back to your desks, and they wouldn't even let them take their belongings home. I think that's pretty outrageous. But, you know, unfortunately, we have there in Aurora. Was it Aurora, I think? I just came into a company and just shot people. So I suspect that's the reason. But I don't know. It's a crazy world out here.
I don't know about you, but if I wasn't wanted at a job, I wouldn't want to stay there anyway, if I could help it.
Yeah, I wouldn't either. But if you're there for like 20 years or something, they treat you like that, we want you to go back to your desk. I mean, come on. That's over the top.
Well, just bad because I learned working at the Better Business Bureau. I saw many great companies have one bad manager come in and just ruin a great company, just alienate all of the best people, run them off, I mean, ego thing, whatever. And, you know, that happens a lot. And it's not the company. You know, they just make a bad choice in bringing in a manager that's not
New owner Sears is not well liked at all, unfortunately. Well, I'll let you guys go.
Dick, I want to ask you quickly, did that person who got laid off gone?
Gone. When he said he's gone, Jeff, he's gone.
He's really gone.
You know, companies are something else, though. I knew somebody that had like maybe 2 or 3 weeks before she could retire, and they even called her in and had her pick out her retirement gift, and they let her go so they wouldn't have to give her full retirement.
It happens more than you know, Jennifer. Believe me, it does.
I'm going to say, boy, we have went the gamut today. We have went from jobs to podcasts to food to brain with air to medicines. We really are the coffee club. It's just like having a cup of coffee. in continuing rambling conversation, but we covered a lot of topics today and we hope you enjoyed it. Anybody else got anything to say before we start wrapping this thing up here? Let's see what time it is.
Is everybody noticing, have you guys been taking Lyft and Uber rides and having them get lost? It seems to be a trend lately.
Oh, Lyft. Oh, my. Has really been a problem. Like, I don't know if they're GPS or what's going on, but I went on five straight rides, five straight getting lost, going to where I was going. Now, maybe it's just through here to Naples. I don't know, but no, I put that six straight.
So maybe they need to do some work on their towers or something.
I don't know.
GPS. Well, there's a high turnover rate. People get into it thinking they can make a career out of it and they can't quite make as much as they hoped, or they want to work a certain number of hours, but the hours they want to work aren't the hours that people want to use the service. So it's a tough.
Well, I just wonder if they're not turning on their GPS or something.
They have no choice. They have to. They have to because it's part of the app. They have no choice. When you get in the car and they start that app going again, it automatically brings up the GPS. But some of those apps, I think in Uber, it gives you the choice of using either Uber's built-in GPS or Google GPS. So
right, if you don't monitor or don't pay attention to it.
Yeah, if they're not paying attention, and they're still they still have to have the common sense exits and different entrances to buildings and so forth. So there still has to be a
not to be prejudiced, but there's so many foreign drivers that can't understand you. You can't understand them. And I've noticed now they choose a name like that sounds very American. Like one guy picked us up the other day, I think his name was Joe or something like that, and he was definitely not. He was Indian or something.
That's like when you call AT&T. Yeah, you call AT&T, you always get somebody in Indian, his name is Sam or Mike or Harry or something like that.
Yeah. Well, everyone, I guess it's about time. Jeff, have you made your request to Tim already?
I already have, and we'll let Tim talk about it when he starts his show.
All right. Well, guys, I think we'll put this to a wrap. Thank you again, everyone.